Hi, this is Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
Welcome to The Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Seaman.
Today, we have a whistler, a comedian, member of Pizza Money, the sketch group, an actor, raconteur, and fellow winner of the Cleveland Comedy Awards Best Podcast, Mr. James Earl Brassfield. How are you?
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Thanks for joining us today.
Welcome to this current...
It's my pleasure to be on an award-winning podcast once again. I'm used to it, you know, the air of specialness is all around me.
I feel like that should just be your standard now, like you will only go on award-winning podcasts.
It's true. Yeah,
I only do.
Although now you can only be on this one and your own from now on, then it's just...
Until next year.
You're very limited. Hey, you're the one who said we'd win again next year, so then...
What would you say that?
Because it's true. Well, when I did the acceptance speech and I ended it by telling everyone to suck a mean dick and also thank you, Jess was like, well, now we're not going to win next year. I'm like, bitch, we're definitely going to win next year because everyone loves that speech.
I told everyone to eat my butt. I'm the best.
It's true. Isn't that, so that's what you had. Wait, you didn't do your speech, did you?
No, I didn't do my best actor speech.
Yeah.
I didn't do the best podcast award speech. The speech was, I'm the best to eat my butt.
Wait, did you have Wilson deliver that?
Wilson delivered my best actor speech.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Which was, I told him to say something terrible. And but he refused because he's a good person, which is why Teaching Levels isn't really just me. There's like a whole team behind the scenes. We're brought to you by Pressure Life, sponsored by Pressure Life. They pay for our hosting and let me say radical shit. Wilson keeps me from saying anything too radical. Wilson Rivera, my co-host and constant contributor. And also we've added a permanent in-house Yacoubian and one Mr. Ryan DiPerna, who you mentioned earlier.
RDP!
RDP, you know who it is? God damn it.
Yeah, I know. He recorded that one and it's like you like asked him who like told him to introduce himself. Yeah. And then I'm like, you have to turn that into a clip.
Because
that's what Ryan said, and I'm like, you need to just sample that and use it for everything.
We're going to use it a lot. It's part of Teach the Devil's Media Crew, super producer, Mr. Rustin McCann.
Rustin McCann, also a former guest of the show. We need to have Wilson on, too, just so that we get, like, the whole fucking lineup.
Wilson actually doesn't show up on film because he's one of the ancient ones. he'll never die.
He never dies.
Hey, that means he's got a lot of time on his hands, but he doesn't like to make video.
I love Wilson. These guys are all great comedians in Cleveland for anybody who is for some reason listening to this and not part of the Cleveland comedy scene. And Teach These Devils is a great podcast. Yeah. What's that? You're not?
No, I said my mom.
Your mom. Oh, yeah, Elizabeth's mom. Hey, Jessie Studer, shout out if she's listening. She just started listening this week, which makes sense. She's Spider's girlfriend, for anybody who doesn't know, but probably does, because five people listen to this podcast, and three of them are us. But
I think Jess is starting to listen to it, too, actually.
But, yeah, Jessie started listening, and, of course, last week I was making fun of her because I thought, she'll never listen to this. And then I was making fun of the fact that she was listening, or she wears that fucking Irish shirt that says everyone loves an Irish girl.
Yeah.
And then I was like, bitch, you're from Toledo. And then I was like, oh, man, now she's going to hear I called her a bitch, and it's a whole thing. And
no. Spider's going to have to defend her honor, and you're going to have to kill him.
I know.
And she's going to be upset.
I mean, we all knew that I was going to kill Spider at some point. We just didn't know.
You or me.
One of us, yeah. One of us was going to kill Spider.
Why would you kill Spider?
I don't know.
Why do people kill spiders?
No, Dr. Spider Jones?
Dr. Spider Jones.
Why would you kill a spider?
Dr. Spider Jones, hey, real quick, your default setting is special.
That's right, special.
Special James, special Jeb. Special Jeb, I kind of like that. It kind of sounds like a drug, special Jeb.
Special Ed, special Jeb.
Special Ed, special Jeb.
I'm going to start using that.
I like it.
Yes, my default setting, I guess, would be special. I'm not even supposed to exist, one. Two, I've been indoctrinated with the thought that I am some sort of miracle. Three, I've never really given a shit about anything. People keep saying that I'm really good at the stuff.
Four,
it's the only thing that makes me happy is doing the stuff that people say that I'm special at. So I'm fucking special.
I get that. I totally get that. That's kind of why, like, I love to perform, because, I mean, people like it, it makes them happy, and fuck, if you're good at it, you might as well keep doing what, like...
I mean, if I had to have a secondary setting, not a default, perhaps maybe an often-ran setting, I guess it would be performing. I've been a performer my whole life. In one way or another, yeah.
A special performer.
Damn right.
What, when did you start performing, and what did you do?
I started performing, like, I think the first thing I did was just kind of, like, you know, just mirroring Michael Jackson moves, probably, as, like, a kid from the 80s. Like, I was always mirroring Michael Jackson moves, trying to, you know, do the smooth criminal. And then finally, my family's very religious, and I was going to Easter church, and I had the all-white smooth criminal suit.
Do you have the hat?
I did not have the hat. No fedora.
Do you have the gloves?
I did not have a glove. It was just a white suit.
Well, did you wear the blue shirt?
I did, yes.
All right.
I did indeed. And I went to Easter Sunday church, and I didn't have a speech or anything. But I kept seeing all the other kids go up and do their speech. And everyone was clapping, and I was like, that looks fucking dope. I want people to clap for me.
So were these kids that was like, they were like supposed to do a speech?
Yeah, like it was like the Easter program for church.
Oh, so it's like the Sunday school or something?
Well, yeah, they would take the kids from the Sunday school.
Oh, okay.
And then they would do like a whole like Easter performance or whatever. And
which you weren't a part of at all.
I was a child, yeah. I was like maybe 3 or 4.
Aww.
And my grandma, who just recently passed, rest in power, she knew I didn't have a speech, but I kept asking her, Grandma, when's going to be my turn? So she made the woman let me go up and give a speech, knowing full well that I did not know what, she did not know what I would say. I was dressed like Michael Jackson. I could have went up there and grabbed my dick and be like, get that to Uma! And started going off. But like, apparently I went up there and said like my little piece. Everyone was fucking shocked and clapped.
That's because they're like, oh, it's the cutest thing they've
ever
seen.
And I walked away, yeah. And I made up a speech on the spot as a child, and that kind of is my whole shit now. Make up a whole thing on the spot.
That's so great.
On the Mike Cole Jr. Show at Hilarities.
That's amazing. I am.
That's so cute. I want a picture.
I know. That. Well, and like, I get the vibe just from listening to Teach These Devils. It sounds like you've had like a lot of support. I mean, like, people have supported like your family and things like that.
I mean, yeah, like, my family is always they've been very supportive of me. I'm, like, an only child, like, okay. You know, like, I was the first grandson, not the firstborn, but the first grandson.
Well, so go into the, you said, that, like, you're special from the beginning, so what did you mean, so that you were, like, you weren't supposed to exist, and then you were, like, raised, told you were, like, a miracle, so.
Yeah, I wasn't, my parents were, the whole time my parents were married for like 10 years trying to have a kid, which sounds like a great time, but that's gross because it's my parents. But like, I wasn't
good time for them.
The doctor told my mom she would never have a kid. And one day, like, she said she prayed for like ever. And then eventually she had a kid, and that kid was me. She had like a kid before me that died. Like, she had like a child died, like a miscarriage. And then the doctor said, yeah, that was it. And then, not too long after that, like that next year, she was pregnant with me and then had me. And
wow.
Yeah.
Do you know that those are called rainbow babies?
A rainbow baby?
Oh, that's what that is? I never knew that.
if you have a miscarriage and then you have a kid right after that, that's your rainbow baby.
See, I'm finding out I'm even more special.
Yeah, that's how I figured you needed another title.
We'll call the different strains. We'll call it Special Jeb, Rainbow Jeb.
Oh man, that sounds so dumb. I'm gonna start making this in my basement. Making some Jeb in my basement. I'm lifted off of me.
I've heard, too, another thing about if you have a miscarriage and then for some reason, often, very often, right after a miscarriage, it increases your fertility within, like, a year or two. So that is...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't know how valid that is, but I've
heard... You're trying to tell me I'm not a miracle? You're trying to tell me I'm just fucking biology? So my dick. How about that? I'm special.
No, you are. That's amazing. How old were your parents when they finally had you?
I want to say my mom was probably, like, 38,
39 maybe? Okay. It's not as old for like nowadays, but back then.
Back in like the early 80s.
Well, even like my dad, yeah, he's the youngest.
Especially for, you know, like poor black people.
Well, my dad's the youngest of his family, and they had, when they had him, my grandma was like 30 something, like mid 30s, and she's like, everyone thought I was his grandma, and like, she's like, don't do it, it's all, and it's like, grandma, I mean, things are different now. Most people don't even start having kids until
all that really matters is how old the mother is, because I could have a kid when I was fucking 17,000 years old if I want.
It's true.
Yeah, but then
as long as I can just get the squirt out of there.
Yeah, but that doesn't
it'll
mean
just be dust
squirt.
Then it'll just come out as a big Damn. Puff of dust.
You're gonna have a ghost baby.
Add Wilder.
He said add water as I was taking a sip of water, and it almost spit it all over me.
I can see her, listener. Oh, I can see everyone.
I know. I told, so Elizabeth and I decided, because I keep all the video, like, she said there's this, did you say it was called Himalaya?
Yeah.
Oh, Himalaya. Yeah, Himalaya.
Yeah.
I was telling you about that.
TC's Devils is trying to switch to Himalaya.
Do you guys have
Have never even been on Patreon.
Oh, so you guys have Patreon?
Mine's on Patreon.
Just starting.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to give
feel
the
so bad
access...
last episode. You guys kept saying, was it? You didn't say Patreon. Patreon.
Okay, that is like a Drinks with Larry thing.
I was like, huh?
So I say Patreon. Everybody I know say Patreon, but for some reason Brian and Larry always say Patreon, and I don't know if it's like a Ginger Boy thing or like what it is.
I was just like, I'm not saying anything. I'm just gonna keep saying it the right way because it's not worth talking about. But I'm pretty sure you guys are on crack.
That was about what I fell asleep was when you said Patreon.
Patreon. But yeah, I'm gonna give the video, I'll recruit, like, I'll say, like, if you tip like $1 this week, we'll release like the video or some shit
with my face blurred out,
and then people can see. Yeah, I'll blur out your face. We'll pixelate it. We'll put pixels, or we'll get that picture of you as a child as smooth criminal, and we'll put it like over you. So
we can produce that. I can also get a full nude if you want to.
Elizabeth's like, yeah, I don't pay extra for that.
Wilson will take it.
No, from when I was a baby.
Oh, okay.
Nude baby. What are you guys talking about? I'm not some gross pervert.
Full nude now is like...
That's not what I said. Those are your words.
You said, I can get you a full nude, and there was no context.
As a baby. We're talking about...
Now there's context.
I will say, this is the first couple I've ever had on this show, and it is quite fun and entertaining for me.
I don't think so. I think it's appalling, and I don't like it.
Have you been on Teach These Devils yet, Liz? Are you going to be on Teach These Devils?
Oh, nope. I'm not famous enough.
TC's Devils has journalistic integrity. I never involved someone I was personally.
Oh my god! I've had Adam on this show, and that was fun. We talked about anxiety, and yeah, you know, we figured a lot of shit out. It was good. It was a bonding experience. I thought
that's cool.
Yeah, it was a good time.
As a person that's in like a new relationship, I'm always trying to find ways to crawl back into myself, which I find a safety net. Like I'm making like little horcruxes, so I can just be sure that I'm always in there.
Horcruxes. Oh my god. So you talked about, you know, going up at church when you were a kid. Like, when did you start doing other kinds of stuff? Like, what other kinds of performance did you like to do?
My next big performance in life was probably Like, I always loved movies and stuff, too, when I was a kid. Like, so I always would wait for the movies to come out on Friday and watch them, like the HBO movies. I would always watch movies, and I was always intrigued by, like, people putting on a show. And the next thing I did was, like, I found out that I could sing a little bit as a kid. And by the time I was in fourth grade, you know, we had arts still in school, which is, I'm dating myself.
Funding for the arts. Remember those quaint old days?
Reagan's so happy that we killed the arts.
Killed them dead.
But yeah, back before they killed the arts and killed the minds of our children, which is a whole like thing we always talk about on Teach These Devils too, is like access is a huge part of who people are. Because I'm smart enough to know that environment is a huge part of what you can do and what you are capable of as a person, mm-hmm. especially in today's society. And I always keep that in mind. But back on the topic, which I forgot totally.
Arts. We cut that
performance. Yeah, my second biggest performance was in fourth grade. I had to sing I'll Be Home for Christmas in my fourth grade music teacher's father's World War II uniform.
Wow.
For the Christmas program.
Wow.
Shout out Miss Saliga. She saw that I was could sing a little bit and made me sing a song. And then
there's a train.
Yeah, fun fact, her son is the drummer for Breaking Benjamin, which is gross.
Oh, wow.
Train.
I'm going to download that sound to bleep out the next time someone accuses someone of rape or drops a name on this show.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys get rape accusations on this show?
We got one so far.
Like who?
No. Tell facts. Me. No, because he edits stuff out of Teach These Devils and won't tell me what happened. You tell him nothing.
Okay, when Liz gives me permission, I will tell you.
Don't pinch me.
I didn't pinch you. This bitch is lying.
Well, that sounds like both of those sound amazing. And then, I mean, did you just kind of go all over the place with like performing? Did you get into like instruments at all? Did you get into?
Yeah, I played every instrument they fucking made.
Yeah.
I played, I started playing the saxophone so my dad would think I was cool. And then I couldn't play the saxophone for shit. So I started playing the viola so my dad would think I was cool. Shit didn't work out. Then I tried to, what did I do? And then I thought I would try and learn how to draw, I guess, like when I was like fourth or fifth grade. And then finally, one day I was in like a school play and it just fucking like, I felt like it was like changed me. Like it made me feel better about myself.
Yeah.
Like I'm a very verbose person, but like if you first meet me, I'm still like pretty shy or whatever, which is like part of that thing where it's like, I feel like on Teach These Devils, we talk about like creatives are weird people. Mm. It's like that's how kind of how my weirdness comes out. It's like I'm very verbose, but like I'll tell the waitress to fucking hurry up, honey doll. But as a joke, you know, and I'm not some, but like, and a snap too, honey doll, as a joke before I even would consider telling her my name or asking her on a date or anything like that. Like I'm not like a human man. I'm just here for your amusement.
Do you think you, like, stay quiet, like, in the beginning to kind of, like, feel out the situation at first?
No, I just don't want to talk.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to talk unless I know who you are.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you're feeling people out first.
Well, no, and I'm also very weird, so, like, you have to know me a little bit to get me.
Well, yeah, and so that's what I was telling Elizabeth, and I mentioned this before we started recording, like, James has always been intimidating to me because he's so quiet, but he has this air of just, like, confidence, and I'm like, ah, fuck, he's so cool, and Elizabeth's like, no.
I wish I knew that because I probably would have kissed more girls. But I think the most important thing to know is like, it's just when I got on the stage like for the first time and it was like in a play, it made me feel like I was like, made me feel like people were right. Like maybe I am a little bit special. So then I didn't do anything else for a very long time. And then in high school, I got caught smoking cess.
Uh-oh.
Smoking what?
Smoking some cess in the fucking family home.
I've never heard of the cess before.
It's just weed.
Yeah, I think it's a good term. I like it.
In the 40s called weed.
Got caught smoking jazz cigarettes.
A left-handed cigarette. My mom and dad, like, over the sink, like, full view. like hard busted.
Were they like not home and then they came home?
Yeah, or they weren't home and they came home and I was like a stupid idiot that didn't know like weed smells like fucking some like dank ass shit.
Skunk and
yeah, my dad like smoked cigarettes in the house at that time. So I was like, yeah, I can fucking smoke. Yeah, no big fucking deal, yeah. So come my dad and mom are like going to the mall or something. And they forgot something, so they came home and drove past the window and saw me standing over the sink with a fucking dude, like, smoking it. And my dad just, like, walks up the driveway, like, doesn't even pull the car in. Just, like, he's like, am I fucking for real seeing this shit? Like, I was
like, oh, and you, like, okay, wait, how old, you said you were 17?
No, I was probably 14 or 15.
Okay, yeah, that's young, okay.
Yeah, so he was like, are you fucking for real? He's like, am I really seeing this shit? I was like, oh, God, fuck. And he was like, you're not doing anything. He was like, you live at school and here. He's like, you're never talking to anyone again. You're trapped here. All you can do is school. And since I'm a fucking smartass, the first thing I did was the next day I went and tried to be in the school play.
That's what I did that exact thing. As soon as I got grounded, I joined honors choir. I joined track. I did like all this shit and my parents were pissed as fuck, but they were also kind of glad because I had extracurriculars then, so they couldn't really get mad.
Look at you guys. Yeah, little participants. I was too scared. I didn't like it. People made me nervous.
That's why you're a weeblo, baby.
Why I'm what?
Nothing.
There's going to be a domestic after we get off this podcast.
Yeah. It's James's first and last appearance on any podcast ever.
He mysteriously disappeared after this recording.
Yeah, there you go. That's for the flyer.
He did his picture that we're gonna put on the on the news when he goes missing. It's just James like making the peace sign, looking really happy.
Special boy.
He was a special boy. Oh my god, that's great. Yeah, no, I love that, like, the way we rebelled to get back at our parents was to join the choir, you know what I mean? Like, we were, like, the nerdiest rebels.
Yeah, I gotta show them.
I knew it, like, and I did that. I was like, you know what? And I knew I was on the right track because I saw my first set of boobs.
Woo!
Like, off-rip day one. And I was like, yo, those are some dope boobs.
Were you hanging out where you weren't supposed to?
No, they were given to me. It was a gift.
A gift?
Here you go. Here are some boobs.
Thank you so much. That's so nice of you. And secondly, thank you to who you are out there. You know who you are. Hopefully they're going to be a guest here on Teachers Double C. I'll say that much.
So you joined a musical and you were given boobs?
No.
Oh.
I've never done a musical ever.
Okay, what was it? A show? A play? Okay.
This was an actual play. It was The Hobbit.
Oh, no!
Oh!
Played one of the trolls.
And, the Hobbit, they put that on at the Beck Center one time. My best friend Kelsey went, and the family said it was the worst thing for
me. Oh, no!
Yeah, I was one of the trolls. And, of course, I didn't give a shit. You know, like, everyone's like, oh, you're special. It doesn't matter. Like, everyone sucks. Like, you know, everyone sucks. Like, I'm just reading the lines or whatever. But I started taking drama class also because of that. I thought it was an easy A. And it just so happened I was in the school play. I had just gotten in trouble or whatever. And it lined up with an assignment we had in drama class where I had to remember, like, a section of the book or whatever. And I didn't remember it. And this was the most important thing that ever happened to me in my whole life. I didn't remember the thing I was supposed to do, like the Pirates of Penzance or some
shit. Yeah.
I still don't give a fuck. I'm a very modern major general.
Very modern of a modern major general. Something, then vegetables and minerals. Yeah, exactly.
I was supposed to memorize that, and I fucking couldn't do it.
It's a lot.
And then I was, like, in the play, and my teacher was also director of the play, and she told me, shout out PJ, she's like another mother to me now, but like, she told, after I fucked it up completely and I was in the play, after she just gave me this role in the play, she asked me to stay after class and she said, how did you feel when you didn't know the words and everyone was looking at you? I was like, I don't know. She was like, you felt stupid, didn't you? And I was like, yeah, I did. And I learned that day that I was like, if you can get everyone to look at you, and you don't know what the fuck you're going to do, you fucked up.
Oh my God, that's such a valuable lesson. Like, thank you.
Huge lesson. And because of that, like, I've been in several, like, plays or productions or whatever. Never not fucking know my lines ever for any reason. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to start writing my own fucking lines so I can get more smacks.
Ah! And, see, you're speaking my truth right now because I've been doing acting classes for, like, 3 or 4 months now.
Oh, really? Have you met Barry?
I have not, although that's my favorite show right now, for sure. It is the best.
I'm trying to get caught up. I'm about to watch it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I found out, like, it was an acting class, I was like, okay, this seems relatable. But then I found out his character's from Cleveland, and I was like, oh, shit, yeah, then I'm all about this show.
Oh, man, see, I've just been watching episodes with him, so I didn't see the beginning.
Yeah, watch them all. It's good. It's an easy watch, too.
Like if Drew Carey was a super good killer and came back from the Marines... And just ended up in California.
That's so true. That's dead on. And, like, Bill Hader breaks my fucking heart, too. Like, he's such a good actor. Like,
I like Hader. He's a great actor. Now he's really grown into it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so, actually, I did his monologue from the pilot where he talks about, like, you know, he came back from Afghanistan and became, like, the sniper. And, like, and I did the monologue in my acting class. And, like, my acting coach, she really loved that I picked that show and that monologue and all that shit. But the acting thing, you're so right, because number one, it's about making, like, a choice. Like, you can't just you can't just go up there and be like, I'm going to fucking do something with no idea of what you're going to do. Like, you have to go up there with a very specific choice of what you're doing. But then, to that end, also, you were talking a little bit about, we were talking about performance, and I forget what the last thing was, but I think, like, that is probably one of the best pieces of advice, because... I mean, that applies to all forms of performance, really. I mean, obviously, musical, you obviously have to know how to play an instrument and all that shit. But, like, when it comes to comedy, 100%, I feel like so many people think it's easy because they think people are just winging it when they go up there and they have no concept of, like...
Right.
Though he is also very good at just winging it.
Improv?
Yeah, well, I feel like he's just, like... James, like,
It's not really improv.
Well, no, you're just so good at, like, crowd work and stuff and, like... feeling them out, like, I don't know.
My greatest skill in being special is also my weakness, in that I'm very reliant on the crowd. Like, if the crowd fucks, like, I told the audience just the other night, I was like, fuck me back, audience. Like, if you fuck me, I'll fuck you back. Like, I just want to fucking, if the audience is vibing, like, it just makes me feel better, and then if you feel good, you do good, and then...
But, and I think you're really good at, like, getting them up, like, getting their energy up and, like, bringing them to your level.
I am an orator.
Yeah.
I don't have any control over that. Like, I do have, like, a little bit of a way with words, and I can kind of, like, talk to people, like, almost like a Hitler-esque kind of thing.
Like, Except opposite.
Like,
for the power
if I was speaking good. German, it would sound like that, but I'm not. But, like, I don't know. It's just one of those, I don't have any control over that. It just so happened that's like a God-given gift that I can just talk to people and they want to listen. Like, even just last weekend, there was like a bar, you know how like a bar show can be super unruly, but it's like, I have these like little niches and pauses built into the shit that I do not make up instantly. And every time I was like, would break for them, like for the audience to like hang on it for a second, it would get quiet. And I was like, oh, I guess they are listening. And then I would tell them a fucking joke, and then they would all fucking keep talking again. Like, so it was one of those things where it's like, I've come to understand, especially after doing comedy for, this is like the month of my 5-year anniversary.
Wow, nice work. And then,
after 5 years of doing stand-up comedy and stuff like that, I feel like, and sketch and stuff like that, I feel like the thing I've learned the most, and that's the most important, is that, if the audience isn't with you, you're fucked. Like, they can feel bad. They can be a bad audience, but if they don't climb on board, you're fucked.
No, you're absolutely right. And something, it reminded me of the other thing that I was going to say too, because you were talking about your sketch. The idea that you create your own work when you either don't like the work that you're being given, or even if you're having a hard time finding work. That's why I do this show, number one, is just for something to do. I can still talk to you guys. I can still see you back home, which is another huge piece of it.
Oh.
I don't feel like I miss Liz, obviously, but, like, I am not, like, dying because, like, we get to see each other and talk every week, and it's, like, it's in a lot of ways it's nice because it's, I don't feel like I've entirely left, you know what I mean? I don't feel like I'm completely gone. I can still stay in touch, but yeah, like, creating this, obviously, is a lot of fun, and we won an award for it, so, you know, it was...
Yep,
it was
congratulations.
Thank you.
I'll give him a point. He was very nice about us winning the award.
Aw, thanks.
Well, if anyone else had won, I was going to storm the stage and give the Wu-Tang.
I'm going to let you finish.
No, I can't believe y'all do this. I went out here and bought this suit for a lot of money. I spent a lot of money on this suit. And let me tell you this, pizza money is for the children.
And pizza money, so pizza money is your sketch group, and I love, like, that's the thing, like, out here, like, I've joined a sketch group from people I met in my acting class. I've got this podcast. I've got, you know, I had comedy back home, and the thing I realized out here is I started submitting to showcases out here. All my videos are just absolute garbage. Like, the level out here that, like, you can't just get away with, like, your bullshit little blurry video that you took at an open mic. Like, you need to submit something, like, reputable.
Some professional.
It's like, I've never recorded or videoed any of my sets ever. That's something I want to
do. I do the audio, and the funny thing is, I've got, like, 20 audio clips that I've never listened to because I'm...
Me too! Oh, yeah, I've got the videos that I do have, which is only, like, two or three tops. Like, I just never
wanted to watch him.
Maybe one I listened to because I was playing it for my uncle, who I think is, like, one of the funny, like, when I was growing up, like, if I could make my Uncle Paul laugh, like, just weak mate, like, I loved making him laugh so much because I thought he was the funniest person.
Isn't that the best?
So I played on one of my sets when they were here for Christmas, but of course my cousin was here, and my cousin's only, like, 11 or something, so he couldn't hear it. But to, like, go in the back room at my mom's house, like, listening to it, like, off the phone.
That's awesome. So, I mean, like, is that kind of how you feel too, Jeb? Like, I mean, when did it become about entertaining, and when did it become about also making people, I mean, is it making people laugh is just as good as just, you know, general entertainment, or is that, like, have, like, a special hierarchy level?
I started telling jokes because I didn't want to be in a band anymore.
Okay.
I just wanted it to be me. I didn't want to wait for, like, someone to show up or, like, wait to have a spot to rehearse. It was just me. And I was trying to take my art. Like, I've always been creating stuff. I did study Pulitzer Prize. I did study poetry under a Pulitzer Prize nominated poet, like, in college, stuff like that. Like, and, like, I've turned it. That into music, and I've turned from poetry into prose, and I guess to writing jokes, and also write with Pressure Life and stuff like that. But I think the most important thing with all that in mind, I guess now, this is the first time I really thought about it, I would have to say that entertaining in general is more important to me. Like, I like to think of myself as not like a comic or a comedian, I like to think of myself as like a humorist.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you write for Pressure Life as well. Do you do like a lot of, unfortunately, I haven't read a lot of Pressure Life. You guys have funny sections and funny articles and things like that, right?
We do have funny stuff. Like, I've done some opinion stuff, and the most important thing for me is, like, I can sing a song, but, like, I'm not going to write a joke how I would sing. You know what I mean? I keep all those things, like, kind of compartmentalized. They're a little bit separate. Like, I have my own voice when I write, so I just use that voice, which also is kind of, if anything is similar in my art, it would probably be my writing voice and my comedic voice. But I try and keep them as separate as possible.
I find that fascinating just because it's not even something I think I've ever really thought about, like, as far as different voices are concerned. A huge sort of fine-tuning I'm finding right now is that, you know, with acting class, you kind of have to perform what you're given, and so I can't, one thing about it is I can't just kind of strictly do, you know, comedies and shit all the time, but furthermore, a lot of it, you were talking about having to rely on other people, it is a fucking bitch to perform scenes because you actually have to meet with another person two or three times a week to, like, rehearse your scene, and, like, around here, no one's fucking reliable, so, like, it's really hard to do scenes. So
that's group project stuff is annoying.
My thing as an actor, it's like, I don't need you to rehearse the scene. Like, that's part of the thing that, like, I think becomes more important. It's like Scarlett Johansson isn't meeting Mark Ruffalo every day. You know what I mean? Like, so it's their job as an actor, I think, to fucking learn the character and as an actor know the characters that you're interacting, know the history you have with them, and take all of that into consideration while you're learning your lines and crafting your character.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's
the thing. It's like, for me, as if we're going to say that I'm doing air quotes special, it's like, for me, it's like I have to know that everyone else isn't going to be doing it the way that I'm doing it. So I need to be ready to do it no matter what.
That's exactly, like we were talking earlier about making a choice. And the thing that, at least they teach you starting out, is making a bad choice is better than making no choice. So even if you completely go in and you act completely batshit insane and you read the character completely sort of differently than anybody else, doesn't mean it's wrong. That was one of the most moving things I had heard so far about acting, is that I was watching, they have this app called Masterclass. So I decided to get the whole thing, and I was watching Samuel L. Jackson's thing, and he was talking about how, like, there are always going to be, like, you know, 1,000 ways to do some shit wrong and, like, totally fuck it up. But there's not just one, there's always at least another 500 ways to do it right. And that was, like, really encouraging to me from the perspective of, like, there's not just one right way and a million wrong ways. There's, you know, there's a fuck ton of right ways, too.
Yeah. And that's all, it's all about making a choice.
I think that's why, I don't know, I've always been too afraid to try acting, because to me, that's definitely scarier than stand-up.
How so?
Because I don't know why, it just feels like more vulnerable to try that way. Like, because maybe part of it is because you know that someone has done it successfully before, whereas like if you're doing your own stuff, no one's done it wrong or right, so there's nothing to compare it to. Like, you're putting your stuff out there, so like in a way that's just a different way of being vulnerable that I'm more comfortable with, as opposed to like being compared to other people.
That's really interesting, and it makes a ton of sense, because you're right, there's like a gauge when you're an actor that if you're performing someone else's piece, you know, are you gonna do it, because just going back to
ledger out,
what's that?
You're going to ledger out, or you're going to go full fucking...
Well, and like, so Sam Jackson... ledger out. Sam Jackson was talking about, they actually did case studies, so they had like 6 kids all perform the diner scene from Pulp Fiction, and they switched roles like in every, you know, scene, so that somebody was always his character and did like the whole huge-ass monologue and all that shit. And he was talking about how like, he would actually break into the middle of their scene and say, like, look, you know, he does it this one way in the movie. Like, you don't have to do it the exact same way I did it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and don't feel like you need to in order for it to be good. You could, and then he literally would transform into 6 other characters and do the lines 6 different ways. And it still made sense, and it was still brilliant as fuck. And I mean, granted, that's like intimidating as shit to like have Sam Jackson watch you do a, like one of his most, you know, epic scenes ever. But to that end, like, I get what you mean. Like, you have that gauge against which you're being compared. And the thing I actually don't like about acting related to that is that I find myself, we actually had to do a scene from 500 Days of Summer last weekend. And it was the scene where, like, you know, Zooey Deschanel's married. She, you know, runs into, you know, what's-his-face, Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the park, and's like, you know, hey, how's it going? You know, very awkward post-breakup scene. It was a scene that broke my heart when I watched it. And I remember exactly how she played it. So I did that, and my acting coach was pissed as fuck. He was just like, you got to do something, like, you got to bring something totally different.
I get too in my head about it. I'd be like,
Well, and that's the thing. I feel like, and I don't know if you've thought this, Jeb, I felt like I at least have a natural instinct to, like, perform, and I love acting, and I feel like I have natural ability. I just don't have technique or, you know, anything. I've not been trained, so, like,
For me, like as a special, the thing for me is, like, I don't give a fuck about the technique. I'm the E.E. Cummings of all this shit. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I know what it looks like. I don't know art, but I know what I like. You know what I mean? It's like, I live by that phrase.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know art at all, but it's like, I'll take a picture and send it to, like, a friend that's a photographer and be like, tell me if this is shitty. What's wrong with it technically? Like, is this a good photo? Is it bad? Like, why? I'm always trying to learn about
Yeah, you like still creative. You want that classic feedback. Yeah. But
and it's and that,
it
that,
doesn't stop you from trying.
It doesn't stop me from trying, especially going back to what you were just saying, like if I was gonna do a scene from Samuel L. Jackson's thing or whatever, it's like, okay, I have that to draw from, but it's like I'm special. I'm not fucking Samuel L. Jackson. But it's like, I know what he did. What can, how do I make it my thing?
Right.
How do I make it my way? And it's like there's 100 billion ways to do it wrong, like you said, but there's ways to do it right. And it's like, you know when it's right, and you know when you're being derivative, and you know when you're being fucking, you're being too inward. And it's a thing where it's like, if you can really create, if you can really make, you just fucking shit it out. You're laying cable, baby. Like, you just got to do it.
Yeah.
So I feel that way about art. Like, I'm a fine art major and stuff. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you learning why things work the way that they work, but it doesn't stop you from, you know, like, cause you still have to make things, and you're not going to make everything look like the example or anything like that. So, I feel more comfortable going about it in that area. But when it comes to like I love doing, you know, like stand up and everything, it's really fun. And it's fun when you get like people to laugh off of like stuff that you wrote or that you thought was funny. But I also really like being in like a panel setting, because it's that kind of like feeding off of other people.
Ensemble,
like
that. Yeah.
So I could get that off of like, maybe is acting similar? Cause like you're feeding off of the way people are delivering.
I mean,
things.
All of acting is reacting. So ultimately when you watch any show, any movie, and you see someone like just watch their face, because ultimately what's telling the entire story is 10% the person who's talking and 90% how that person is reacting to it.
Yeah.
And
I'd be bad at it because I can't keep my emotions off my face to save my life.
Well, I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, so here's the thing. So in a lot of ways, being expressive is extremely good. And you know, that's where I sort of shine. My problem, as I'm learning, is I've got to reel it the fuck in, because I'm just, like you said, you're extremely expressive, I'm expressive, and you need the, I guess, you know, the thing that...
Gotta be real.
And that's it. Like, the thing is that's compelling to this day and age as far as acting is subtlety and forcing people to lean in and figure out what are they thinking, what's going on, without giving it away, you know, like, without, like, just overly being, like, you know, you could see on their face this person wants the other person to fuck up.
The thing about acting class for me is, like, understanding, like, a little bit about cinema and stuff like that and the theater. I don't understand how a scene study, I mean, I get the idea of scene study, but it's like, if you're developing characters, like, Daniel Day-Lewis wouldn't take anything away from acting class. You know what I mean? Like, Daniel Day-Lewis fucking becomes Abraham Lincoln. And it's like, there's people that, and you can see it, I'm sure you can see it even in class, and like, if you don't know what it looks like, turn on your fucking TV and see someone who can, like, fucking act their fucking ass off. And see them next to Ice-T.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Oh my god. Oh my god. No. So my first day of class ever, my literal first day of class, because the first class I was taking was on-camera auditioning techniques, and the instructor was talking about how, like, you know, yeah, you know, you got to do stuff to be noticed and get you stood out. He's like, but do not do what Ice-T did, which was walk into the place, hold up a gun, and say, this is a holdup. Start screaming at everybody in the whole place, and then a bit, and then I guess at the end he was just like, "All right, that's my audition. See you later." And he walked out. And I guess they booked him. Like, he got booked for whatever the role was.
Hell yeah, he got booked. You know why? They ain't never seen no shit like that.
Yeah, we. I mean, I don't think I could get away with
one off move though.
Ice-T is special.
Yeah,
you and Ice-T are very special.
I can't hold places up. I would not. I would not pull that.
I think, like, if it comes to like reacting and stuff, my problem would be trying not to, my problem, like, I'll react to whether the other person is good or not. So they're being shitty, I'd be like, oh, okay, we're real into this. Like, that's probably.
And I mean,
where
that's actually a classic art actor conundrum too. Is like, when, I mean, if you're not a great actor, what you ask for a lot of times is your partner to give you something to work with, right? Like, you want the other person to give you something so that you have some way of, like...
Oh, that's probably why I would suck. I don't know.
Not me. I fucking love when people suck. Like, put me up after the worst comedian. Put me up before the best comedian. Fucking put me up whenever. Like, put me with a terrible scene partner. Put me in front of Samuel L. Jackson doing fucking Samuel L. Jackson shit. Like, if you suck, I get to shine even brighter.
True, true.
I dare you to suck in front of me and lose your fucking job.
True. I mean, do you find that you probably thrive more off someone who sucks than someone who is, would you say, like, has more experience, or?
No, I think that it's, if someone is fucking nailing it and you're acting, like, I haven't done acting in a little bit, but it's one of those things where, like, traditional acting, you know, other than stuff that I've made or whatever, which is, I write for people that aren't experienced actors, so I just try and make it their character them. For me, it's about the character. There's nothing in the world like being next to someone who is killing it, like, way better than you, because, like, you can watch and learn people, like, you can learn from what they're doing. You get fed off of their energy, like, mm-hmm. You just start, like, you can vibe with that kind of shit. It's, like, all of creating for me, like, I've done it all. Like, the whole basis for my life is fucking Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. It's, like, that ain't working. If it's not working, I've tried to see if I was good at it. I've tried to take photographs. I've tried painting. I've tried comedy. I've tried acting. I've tried writing. So, like, I don't want to fucking touch boxes, and my brain is too big for that. Like, if no one listens, that's on them, but at least I made the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Well, since there's, like, a lot of creative people, like, maybe it doesn't come across the way initially, but we tend to have, like, a lot of outlets. You know, like, you're doing, like, the acting and the podcast. Like, everybody has, like, it's got to come out in, like, more than one way.
And that's a great point, too, because I think something that discourages me, I think, a little bit, is the concept of pouring all your eggs into one basket. And this is not at all to disparage people who, like, you know, they have a passion and that's just all they do, because that's mm-hmm. what actually intimidates me, is that I feel like that should, like, I should be pouring, like, everything into one thing.
Like, those people are making a mistake. Like, I know people that are here and fucking rocking right now, like, banging right now. And I've asked them, like, everyone knows everyone, so it's like, I've asked them, like, yo, are you ready for when they fucking call? And they're like, yo, we want you to do X, Y, and Z. And they've told me, I just want to tell jokes. And I was like, I dig that, but, like, I'm telling you, like, that's a fucking mistake. Like, because as soon as you miss your chance, like,
you don't know if you're going to get another one.
Who the fuck told you there was another one? And if you didn't want that one, what do you want?
Right.
What do you want?
So are you kind of, are you a proponent of sort of diversifying, like, your ability just a little bit? So, like, so from the perspective of, say you're this comedian and that's all you do is comedy, but you get an opportunity where you also have to act, or you get an opportunity where you also have to, like, sing. Like, you're saying, like, it would behoove someone to invest a little bit of time into one of those other avenues just to kind of...
You don't always get to do what you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter what, like, if you... Imagine... Life is one of those things where it's like, not everybody fucking has to work at a factory. Not everybody gets to work in an office. But just now flip that on its head of, like, the extremes, like the special people. Like, Justin Timberlake probably fucking hates dancing. You know what I mean? Probably hates dancing. Had to get fucking real good at it. Like, so, me, like, if I was a world-class guitar player, like, do I get to make my music? No, my music probably sucks. People don't want to listen to it. It's too weird because I'm super technical. So what do I got to do? I got to play guitar for Rihanna. Do I want to play guitar for Rihanna? Fuck no. Are there people that would stab themselves to play guitar for Rihanna? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
So, like, you got to look at it like, if I want to, how do I get my truth out there? And it's like, if you get an opportunity, which is all we're talking, like, as a creative, like a comedian or an actor or a podcaster, if NPR calls, are you guys going to be like, oh, no, I'm scared?
Exactly.
NPR, our number is on.
I love, too, that you and I are both huge fans of all the NPR podcasts, too. So, like, we would definitely just, like, probably, like, shit ourselves if NPR called.
Love
NPR. The only thing that ticks me off about NPR now is that fucking Trump's voice is on almost every morning.
Believe me, you're going to get used to it.
I hate it.
Calling it. The nigga's like, winning
again. He's No, he's not.
Fucking words, listener.
Put your money on it now. It's
not
happening.
Mark my words, default settings, listener. Nope.
Someone tweeted yesterday that if the owner of Twitter just sent out one final tweet that said, sorry, this didn't work out, kids. Just go outside, and then deleted Twitter, he'd get a Nobel Peace Prize. And I was like, yes, that would be the world. I would actually be so happy. I would, like, run into the street. Like, if he,
I support that sentiment.
I don't fuck with Twitter. I don't like it.
You're smart. I will continually encourage you never, ever, ever to touch Twitter.
I think I have a Twitter account or two, and I never posted anything.
I got a couple Twitters, and I don't like it, but niggas have got jobs on Twitter.
Man. Twitter is actual hell, man. You don't want any part of it.
That's why you got to dance with the devil in that pale moonlight, you know what I mean?
I just never remember to post anything. I'm like, nothing seems that interesting, except for I posted on Instagram. You see my carrot
pants? I did the carrot pants!
I'm transitioning to Instagram only. I want to for all my media shit because I murder Instagram.
I like Instagram. Instagram, I feel like, of all of the social media, is the healthiest because there's not a lot of words, right? It's just images, and it's usually nice images. And people can comment and, like, get in.
Stories, though. That seems dumb.
Do what? Oh, the stories. Thank you. Like, I stopped using Snapchat because everyone just fucking uses Instagram stories. But then people are like, no, I got Instagram and I got Snapchat. And I'm like,
well, and everyone posts their, like, Instagram to Facebook. And
who has time for this shit?
Well, I mean, on Instagram, you just, like, click, send it to Twitter, send it to Facebook, and it goes out.
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha.
But it's just annoying because I'm like, I don't want to see your same shit over and over again.
True.
So if I put it on Instagram, I'm not going to put it on Facebook. I don't know. You probably should. Maybe if you're a company.
I do it. I do Instagram stories once in a blue moon. That's it.
Wendy's does it.
If Wendy's does it, I'm doing it.
Wendy's.
They burn people on there. I like that.
On Twitter.
Yeah, Wendy's has a fire Twitter.
It's funny how many brands on Twitter now have, like, they clearly just hired fucking, like, comedians, like, to do their social media interactions.
Oh, yeah.
Like Moon Pie has an amazing Twitter, and, like, who the fuck's heard of a Moon Pie in, like, 50 years? But now they have, like, this Twitter that has, like, 1.1 million followers and is hilarious.
Because
you know they hired some, like, guy who's, like, not there yet on the scene and couldn't get hired by, like, you know, Conan, but is, like, almost there and is, like, fucking,
like, put out, you know, snappy shit quick.
He's got a terrible treatment, but it's got good one-liners.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, so much lingo that I just got there. That's, I don't know if I'm proud of that.
I did. I already know the lingo. As soon as I get to Chicago, it's going to be bad for everyone all over the country.
Well, and that's it. Like, I'm so glad to kind of, like, know that there's someone else that has, like, multiple ambitions, because that's always been my thing. People are always like, oh,
I just want $1 billion, $1 trillion.
That's me too. Yeah, like,
so it's like, if you notice me from telling jokes and just so happens NBC needs a new hot hit sitcom, Brassfeld is ready for 8 o'clock on
Oh my god, Brassfeld would be such a good show name too.
Let's talk about something.
Brassfeld. Dong, da, dong, dong, dong.
Yeah, we would use electric guitars.
Yes. Oh my god, I would watch Brassfeld. I would DVR that shit.
He's my Kramer.
Who's that? Wilson?
Dave Flint.
Oh my god, Kramer. Dave Flint.
He'd be the perfect
Kramer. Wilson's obviously good.
He would. Wilson's who? George? Elaine?
RDP.
RDP is Elaine?
RDP's my Elaine.
I love that there's so many acronyms on that show. There's Jeb, there's RDP, there's
the Condor himself.
The Condor. I love it.
Wilson.
So many.
We're just a gang of nickname having ass fucking gangster.
It's a really well produced show. I love that, like, you guys edit in, like, commentary. Like, I love, like,
he does all the editing.
Yeah, I do. I do actually all the editing myself.
That's great.
I steal all the music myself.
He does.
I was gonna say I love the music, but I wasn't sure if, like, it was public domain or what it was.
It's stolen. No one cares. My friend works for music copyright agency, like, in Tennessee. He's like, I listen to your podcast all the time. I was like, dude, am I going to get in trouble for stealing songs? He's like, no one gives a fuck.
which stands to reason, because, like, I was working for a lot. Well, I work for a law firm now, but my last law firm had an IP, like, copyright department. And I was like, There is no fucking way I can put out a podcast with stolen music and not get fired. So I actually paid, like, $200 for our intro and outro songs, because I was panicked that I was going to get sued or get fired for using.
I got some, we have a music episode coming up this episode. The next episode after this one. This episode, we had a woman on named Kendra Dossi, who's from Connecticut.
She's really funny.
Yeah, she's hilarious. She's from she lives in my hometown, my alma mater, New Haven, Connecticut, a little home of the Yale Bulldogs. Maybe you heard of them. You fucking morons. So yeah, she was on, and we talked about. She's a very, very interesting guest. Yale educated, Yale graduate, comedian from New Haven. So we talked a lot. Then the next episode we have on Dan Myron Handelman, who's actually a musician of some breath. We're gonna play some of his original tracks and stuff, and like I'm gonna use some of those to do the intro and outro and all that stuff because he's on. And so, like, so I that's the thing that is most fun for me is editing it.
Yeah,
it's like I love doing that, and sometimes I find it's always funnier, like if you leave a little breath in it, or fucking if someone sounds like an idiot and they're like you take that out, like it just makes it a better product.
I agree, that's actually a really good point. And that was one thing I love about listening to your show is that, like, every once in a while you'll just have like a record skip where someone says something weird, and then you'll just have them say it over and over and over again for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's the TC Seville's signature edit is the three times deeper. So, your mother never hugged you as a kid.
Yeah, and like that's it. It keeps your interest too, because like that's one thing I always worry about. As much fun as we'll have on here, sometimes I'm like, but does it just sound like me going for like an hour, or like need to like break it up like a little bit with like, yeah, weird sound effects or, you know, that kind of shit.
I mean, we usually. Yeah, good impression of yourself.
I know, right? That's literally what I sound like. Throw a couple.
I think sometimes, like, I think we're good because we normally get people saying something really fucking weird every so often.
It's true. That does happen.
Are you pointing to me or to you? All right. Fingering the computer.
Girl, right. Your hand big as hell.
People say weird shit, or, you know, like weird one-liners will happen, or starts talking about
a rape accusation,
vaginas that soak up last.
Oh yeah, vacuum vaginas.
Listen to an episode.
I'm gonna make that. Okay, that's gonna be our promo for season 4. Listen to an episode. It's just gonna be like that.
Listen to it. I'm so funny.
I'm too busy making the award-winning podcast Teach These Devils. That's right, Teach These Devils, available on Apple Podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Wednesday, if it's Wednesday, it's CC's Devils. Mm-hmm. I'm already in your daughter's back pocket if she has an idea.
This is perfect. We don't even need anything else. Is there anywhere on social media we can find you guys?
You can find me, Wilson, and the R-Man at Party All the Ryan. That's the R-Man. You can find Wilson at The Condor. You can find TC's Devils on Twitter, at These Devils. And you can find me at Gerald Brass on just about everything. James O. Brassfield on Facebook if your mom wants to fuck.
There it is. Liz, you got any social media you want to promote?
You know I don't remember them.
All right, cool. I like this running.
Instagram something. Go find Carrot Pants.
I like the running gag that we have going here.
Yeah, it's literally like, I don't know.
Oh, fuck it.
We didn't see it.
Not, definitely not on Twitter.
Seaman in the Instagram. See what happens.
Yeah, just Google Elizabeth Seaman every time.
You know, I was at work, I came across a document from another Elizabeth Seaman, and I was like,
no way, seriously?
Yeah, last name spelled the same
way. What the fuck?
Like, we're not related at all.
That's
but.
Real weird, though, because you're the only Seaman I know.
Oh, there's only Seaman.
You
there's
know Seaman.
There's like there's a weird, like, mirror family in, like, on the west side of Cleveland. It's like, so my grandma's name is Mary, and her husband's name is Henry, and they had a kid named John. There's another Mary and Henry when their first kid name was John, and they happened to go to like the same eye doctor or
what
something.
What the actual fuck? Are you sure your dad didn't have a secret other family you just didn't tell you guys about?
No, it would have been his parents.
If you have a secret family, you gotta have them in another country. I have mine in Mississauga.
Mississauga. Yeah, I mean, that's not it's another country, and it's not far, so that was actually really smart of you. could still keep in touch. Hey, thanks for being on the show today. You were super fun.
No, thank you so much. And also, like, I would ever tell you the real location of my secret.
I want to thank Above Below Entertainment for being our network and OK Pants for being our artist. I also want to thank... Pants in the house. Also, SX1, check us out at SX1 Entertainment, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I believe we have a show coming up on May something-ith at 7 p.m.,
May 19th,
Sunday, May 19th, 7 p.m. at Skidmark Garage for Couch Gags, which we have booked up for the next couple months with some pretty solid heavy hitters. So come check that out. And K, love you. Bye.